a mighty sign and wonder, then he begins, instead of pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to point you to some fetish things. He begins to point you to some other strange fires. He begins to do things contrary to the Bible. That is what is strange. Anything outside of the scripture is strange. Anything contrary to the scripture is strange. Then he explained a mystery there, why he allows such among his people. Every message you give is to build, is to guide, is to bring back peace, is to comfort, to remove frustrations. Anybody that gives you message that you will not be able to sleep again, raise your body temperature, create fear all around you, something is wrong with that message. That message you are given, is it scriptural or contrary to the scripture? That vision you saw, the first thing, you first judge that thing by yourself. This thing that I see, is it scriptural? Is it scriptural? And how do I know, number one, to know whether it is scriptural or not? Is it going to help this person in any way or not? Number two, is there any commandment in the Bible against that? The Bible forbids divorce. So God cannot tell you message that somebody should divorce. If you want to counsel the person, then always speak. This one, no be God, they talk amo. That means all they talk after hearing the country where you go through. That means they talk amo. No be God, do. No be God, do. That means they talk amo. That means they talk amo. If na me, I no go feel live with that woman. Oh. If na me, I will lie here, I go kill him. But na me, bet. God, they say you should not divorce. Therefore, let's find solution. And the only solution is, let's go back to that God that joined you together. And he will keep you together. Let's continue prayers. You have freed yourself. Pure and simple. There are two places in the Bible that God used to prove those who are approved. One is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he says, verse 18, where he says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Then he says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he spoke about wind of doctrine that blow people away. He said, such things can happen in the church. Divisions can happen in the church. So that those who stand can be approved. Those who know what they are doing can be manifested. To separate the wheat from the chaff. That is one. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 13, where we are reading, verse 3, this is the reason why He, God, will allow that gift there to operate. He says, thou shalt not. See now, the sign has come to pass. Let me read it again from verse 2. From verse 2. That sign or the wonder that that man of God come to pass. He said, but after that gift, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. And let us serve them. What did he say? He said, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. Irrespective of whatever sign he gives. Miracle signs and wonder taking place. Or that dreamer of dreams. Why? For the Lord God, the Lord your God, proveth you. Is testing you. to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. See the judgment that comes upon that mighty prophet. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, what will happen to that person? Shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. He brought you out. He has turned you there to trust thee out of the way where the Lord thy God commanded thee to do what? To walk in. So shall thou put that evil away from the midst of thee. Therefore, the watchword is the scripture. Praise the Lord. It must be scriptural. It must not be contrary to the scripture. Next, how do you judge that gift? That should be number 4. For the gift of prophecy, for the gift of healing, for the gift of deliverance, amen. When you say you have that gift, amen. He says, you watch, whether it comes to pass or not. William Branham called it evident fruit of the ministry. Praise God. And so when somebody came from Oka, called me sometime before I traveled, and said the Lord told her that she should come to Bride Assembly, that God wanted to use her to heal the people. And she came and came straight. Well, they arrived last Tuesday. I told her our healing service is last Tuesday. I mean, we want God to heal people. So God can choose to use anybody to heal. So they came and she was full of fire. Full of fire. As soon as she entered my office, I called the two pastors to come and join me. As she entered, anointing so much, the anointing was too much. And I said, she ain't a healer, you can't heal. So I had to tell her, I said, I am not, I need to talk with you. This your anointing cannot enable us to talk, Pastor Francis. I said, this anointing is so much, I don't know you. I want us to talk so that you tell me the message you receive again. And I said, can they call Jerry? Can you take her out so when you regain them, we can talk, because we cannot talk like this. The anointing cooled down. This is the message. They come from a ministry in Oka. They join us online. Maybe you are watching us now. They are pastors, two pastors. And one of them, his wife, is this mighty anointed healer. I said, there's no problem now. When it's time for healing, we'll bring out. I said, Pastor Zoe, you will. So we line up. Amen. First person, they pray for them now. There's no quarrel over it. There's just no quarrel. How some man say, Gafili Gadoki. No, wahala. Gafili Gadoki. You say you can ride a horse. He said, this is the race course, and this is the horse. Oh, yeah, right. Gafili Gadoki. The first one was, of course, we shall select special case for that. She pray. Is it make you go? So we say, no, no, be so we they pray for her. You go check now whether the thing don't go or not. She pray. The sister said, pay, too much, the pain don't increase itself. He said, okay, stand one side. Sister Uchechi, a woman like you, God, they use men and women here too. Uchechi, see one case here. Sister Uchechi, under 3 minutes, the thing disappear. Praise the Lord. The manifestation is the interpretation. Whether that revelation you have given will come to pass or not. And let me quickly add. Listen, there are some messages that some of you give that they are not messages for the church. They are messages for yourself. When God wants to show you in person that His presence is here, He will open your eye. You will see light here. You see light here. You will see angels here. That you see angels and you see light is not a message. That's why some of you write some things to us and you see me, I don't bother to read it out. While the program was going on, I see from heaven, manna was falling down. Everybody was receiving handkerchief. Everybody with them. Now, how will I confirm that message? I don't see the handkerchief. And why is he giving is my problem handkerchief? But did he give the handkerchief in his feet? Did you see something? You saw something. But it's not a message for the church. You were sleeping, then all of a sudden, rapture took place. Then you saw some people left, some people didn't go. Then you too, you no go. Then you are coming, Pastor, I have a message for the church. What is the message? The Lord opened my eye and I saw rapture. Some people were going and I saw many people in this church, they didn't go. Nobody is going to go in the rapture by your revelation. The scripture tells us the qualification for the rapture is not your dream. The revelation is for you in person. It's not for the church. It's for you to know that this rapture is real so that you will make your own calling and election sure. Praise God. Hey. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 28, if you read the first 17 verses, Jeremiah had prophesied the captivity that God is everybody is under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. He had put everybody under his servant Nebuchadnezzar. One prophet, Hananias, came and said, this yoke will last for only 2 years. Nebuchadnezzar, the prophet Jeremiah, there are two prophets, prophet Ananias and prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied that it will be for 70 years. Ananias came and said it is for 2 years. Praise the Lord. And if you read that story on and on, Jeremiah did not argue. Which is taking us to the next point. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 24, a servant of God must not strive. A prophet does not argue his prophecy. Hey, hallelujah. A prophet does not argue or fight over what he see or what he had. Jeremiah said, it's 2 years. Amen. Who was there for 25 years, for 70 years before? Jeremiah said, amen. He didn't come to say, me, a major prophet in Israel. I prophesy, you, this Chube Chube Hananiah, you are coming here to like, you know, like the Jeremiah at Oweri. Worry. I was listening to a clip. And one pastor, another pastor in the same worry, is a prophet, Prophet Amos, and I know him very well. All these stupid things these gifted people do, God will help us. There's somebody is coming out, and they say it's a spirit that is talking. He says it's a spirit that is talking, because that man is always criticizing Jeremiah for all those fetish things he does and all the commercialization, all the nonsense they do there. And then he now wants to get back at him. Then he's now supposedly conducting deliverance, and the spirit is talking in the man. He says, yes, yes, there is this bottle, this cross, this bottle that is in temple television. In temple television. Is there, and then as if it is a demon trying to discredit that man, that he's among them, that he's among them, that he's among them. They are together. He's always criticizing you. He's always criticizing you. But we have come now to see that yes, 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 we are. And then Jeremiah, why I refer to it that he now said, he said, I don't know him. Who is the temple television? Who is temple? It's all these small pastors. That's why I remember it. All these small pastors. I don't know these small pastors. I don't know these small pastors. And when you see a man of God referring to another pastor as a small pastor, you are actually blaspheming the Holy Ghost. There is no small Holy Ghost, and there is no big Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost operating in a small ministry, small by your standard. Who told you that many people are in a church becomes approval of that ministry by God? And what men call great, the Bible says it's abomination even before God. When you see a man talking like that, if the man has done something wrong, speak against the wrong thing he has done so that the person will be corrected. That is what I do here. Jeremiah, my prophet Amos has not spoken half of what I have spoken against what nonsense you are doing there. Jeremiah, you sell all manner of things. What you do there, you know it's not Christianity. There is nothing you are doing there that can take anybody to heaven. The people know you, know more about you than they know about Jesus. You project yourself. You don't project Jesus. You sell gifts. People pay for them, for you to minister to them. All that thing you do to be giving money to people openly, it's because you don't know Bible now. Why do I have to buy a car for my wife and come and give it to her in front of the world? You can as well transfer what you did in your bedroom to the pulpit for the whole world to see. It's wrong. And that is the problem with gifted people. The anointing takes you to a realm where you leave God. And God has left you, and you think He's with you because the gift is still there. That's wrong. Stop calling any pastor small pastor. It's an insult to the Holy Ghost. There's no big pastor, there is no small pastor. You are the one that made him big. We are all servants of God, the same God. The same God. If it is the same God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you see me doing anything wrong, correct me. And the correction should not include, why are you speaking against men of God? Oh, stop that. That's no correction. I will speak. Am I not a preacher? Men of God. Who are those causing problems in Christianity today? Is it not men of God? Who are those bringing disrepute to the gospel today? It's not church member. It's men of God. May God help us. I say, may God help us. Hallelujah. But you saw what happened to Prophet Hananiah for challenging Prophet Jeremiah. It was not Jeremiah that caused him. It was God that came on him. Amen. And it did it, he said, because you have, he said, the Lord has not sent thee, Hananiah, but thou hast made the people to trust in a lie. That is, you are giving false hope to the people. There are people that give prophecies and give false hope. Say what God says. Stop giving the people false hope. Don't say it is over when it is not over. Stop giving date when God did not give you date for an expectation. You are making them to trust in a lie. Because God is only obligated to what he has told you to do. To what he has given you as a message. Hallelujah. A servant of God must not strive. Must not strive. No. Must not strive. And you can read on. You see a perfect time in 1 Peter chapter 3. Read the first 10 verses there. You must not argue. Continue to preach. Continue to do what God has told you to do. And you must not enforce your prophecy. Don't get angry. Don't get angry when you give a prophecy and it is not carried out. That is another level of carnality. God gave you a message that somebody will die except they do this, they do that. And they refuse to accept the prophecy. And somebody die. You have no reason whatsoever to be angry. You have done your own part. As long as he say, nobody, you die. If now you die, then you can be angry. Since nobody, you die, then don't be angry. The Lord said, everybody should lie down in this altar. And nobody lay down there. Then you get angry. We keep giving these people revelation. They don't. We keep giving the revelation from now. If I see anything, I will not talk. No. Your own ends in giving it out. It is another person to carry it out. You are not to enforce the prophecy you give, the revelation you see. Your own is to give it as you were instructed to give. Because this same God told Moses, go to Pharaoh. Tell him, I say, let my people go. The same God went to Pharaoh and hardened his heart. So that Pharaoh refused to release the people. So why he refused? Then Moses, we go back to God now. Then God said, don't worry, see what I will do now. Because I raise him up to manifest my power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So see, that's why study the Bible. Study. Learn to study. So you know how to walk with this God. God has told Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Then the same God went before Moses reached there, went and hardened the heart of Pharaoh. I will not let them go. No, you can't tell that your God. I will not let them go. And I got to do them. So when you give revelation to somebody and he doesn't carry it out, it may be God that is hardening the heart of that person to fulfill a purpose. It's not for you to get angry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And sometimes you get angry because you want to manipulate somebody with your gift. You want to manipulate, that's why. Because they know you to be a gifted sister, a gifted brother. Then you use it. Anybody that you don't like to associate with someone, you want to scatter a relationship. You enter spirit and begin to give revelation that will scatter them, or they'll begin to suspect one another. Carnality. In fact, you are a devil. You are not converted. If you have the spirit to see a brother and a sister quarreling, and you are happy, and not just that, you are the one that staged the fight by manipulation. The truth is this. I am telling you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a witch. It's a witchcraft spirit that does that. Witchcraft is in different category, but witch is a witch. A Christian will never be happy to see brother and sister, sister and sister, brother and brother, not in talking terms. I cannot talk that. I think I spoke about it during the vigil. I spoke about it. And I told you that you who do that, you should not be allowed in the ministry because of the effect of that type of action in the ministry. I proved it. I proved it to you. And on Friday night, I told you a mystery that I have tried to understand, but I cannot. I said that God promised Joshua, anywhere you place your feet, you will possess it. As I was with Moses, that's how I will be with you. You will not lose any battle. The first battle of Ai that they went, see how many people that died. That's contrary to the promise of God. So the Israel had to withdraw to find out. This is contrary. Why are people dying? And they casted lot after they prayed, and they discovered that there was an Achan that went and brought a Babylonian garment into the camp of Israel before they went for the battle. And the question I asked you on Friday, Apostle, you were not here on Friday. And there was a question I asked. Maybe you have answer, being an apostle. Give him microphone. Maybe he has answer. Now, this is the question. They went for that battle. I say, people died, but the person that caused the death did not die. Achan did not die. Meanwhile, he's the reason why people were dying. Why will he not die? Now, he will first die for battle. Why did he not die?
Praise the Lord, sir.
Thank you, Apostle.
I was telling my brother that I have come to a stage, a situation, I set an example to him, that whatever I see from the Lord, whatever I see in my life, that God cannot do this for you. You have a testimony, and the other one, he does it, and he will not do the other one. The answer to it is that all things work together for good.
That's your answer.
That's the answer, sir.
Okay. For the good of Achan, or the good of the people that died, innocent people that died.
But there's a reason.
Innocent people died. The person that created the problem did not die in that battle. Meanwhile, it's because of him people were dying. Okay. God told David, don't conduct census. Don't count Israel. But the Bible says Satan stirred up the spirit of David. David decided against all counsel. He wants to know the number of people in Israel. When they were saying, why are you doing that? God says, he said, do it. Immediately he did it. The anger of God came down. 70,000 Jews died in one day. But David was alive. The person that created the problem is not among the people that died. Why? God, why? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So that you will understand the body of Christ. So that, hallelujah, you will know why there is excommunication in the church. So that you will know why some people are put away from the church. So that you will know why it says, cursed be he that keepeth his sword from blood. So that you will know why he said, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. It has effect. And the effect there is that you will, hallelujah. People, if it is a true church, I said on Friday night, I said, I'm not talking of those disco houses called church. I am talking of a true church. One of the evidence of a true church is that if you allow such things in your midst, people, Apostle Paul said it, for this cause, many are weak, many are sickly, and many sleep, die. People will begin to die in that ministry. When you allow funny things to happen, abominations to take off, and then you see it and you cover it. The people that died, it means they were aware. They were aware that Achan had that thing inside him. They knew. They didn't talk. Because he said, cursed be he that keepeth his sword from blood. Secondly, there were people, whether David do it or he not do him, whether he's wrong or he's right, they will support David. He's our pastor. He's our king. We will back him up. No matter what he does, we will back him up. We will back him up. We will back him up. With the arrow of the pastor, all of you that support him, you will die. I am teaching Bible. That is why you must repent. He said, when you come into that estate, I emphasized, because there are things that go on in the ministry that must be checked. If not, it has a just recompense of reward, even to the ministry. A true church. You know of any abomination that is going on. You know a brother is living with a sister that they have not married. You know, you cover it. When the problem will come into that ministry, it will start with you. If not die, now you go first die. Am I cursing anybody? I'm not cursing. I'm teaching Bible. It's just to share the word of God. Praise the Lord. But when you point it out and action is not taken, you are free. And to point it out is not to gossip. In fact, gossip is another asset in the fabric of fellowship. It destroys the fabric of love. When you begin to make people suspect one another with your gift, with your dream, with your so-called prophecy, revelations. We need to take these things carefully because it is character building. It is building our character. So that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit. You are supposed to profit. It's supposed to be beneficial both to you and to the church. And this is the major problem in Christianity today. How to operate that gift. The gift of the Spirit. We finished the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's only normal that after that we should continue talking about these things. And since everybody is gifted, I cannot call another program only for gifted people because everybody has a gift. Of course, if I notice any unique gift around you that can help the church, if I know, of course, I will always encourage you. There are things that happen. So many things that happen. I pray that those who work with me will catch my understanding of what ministry is. When we are smaller, it's very easy to identify the gifted ones. We are much more than this now. So I expect the group leaders to identify brothers and sisters who have gifts that the church can benefit from. Identify them. Don't cover them. Don't cover them. Nobody will take your place. Don't, because when you bring somebody, you may think he's going to go receive better recognition than you who have been here for the past 30 years. He just came yesterday. Nobody can take your place. Nobody can take your place. Nobody can take my place. It's a revelation. You see, the way I speak is, you can see the confidence and the boldness I speak. Because I have a revelation. If half of this church decide to go, when the church started, somebody was asking me, sat me down, I want to make me look as if I am a failure. Why are people coming and going? Why are they not staying? People come and they go. People come and they go. Where is social person? Where is social person? Where is social person? And I turned and I said, It simply means when they came, they didn't see what they are looking for. They must be looking for something. That's why they came now. So they didn't see. That's why they left. Which offense have they committed or I committed? Listen, church. Amen. It's only one who knows who he is in the ministry. We are not politicians. We are servants with specific assignments. Do your own assignment. I'll do my own assignment. Praise the Lord. And if your own assignment cannot go along with my own, go and look for another person that the two of you, your own, can go along with. Don't sit down here when you are not enjoying to serve God in this ministry. Feel free and go. Can't you see the way I'm talking? So now, if I give you that liberty to go, you no go. You can't stay here again. They create problem. So what will I conclude you to be? You are an agent of destabilization. Certainly, because you came here willingly. I have never negotiated with any minister to work with me. Never. And I will never. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If this church breaks into three today, do you hear me? It will not move me one bit. Because I am not building a kingdom for myself. It simply means those who have gone, the purpose for coming here is over. You can now go. The only thing is live peacefully. Live so that we can see tomorrow and shake hands. Brother, how now? And we can hug. Don't leave and go and start doing nonsense against the place that brought you up. Hallelujah. No jealousy. No skis. Nothing. If you cannot see God in this ministry, then you will never see God anywhere. Just by this point. Hallelujah. Not by the anointing. Not by the prophecy. Not by the miracles. Not even by the preaching of the word. But for the fact, in this tribalized nation, full of nepotism, sectionalism, tribalism, that has gone even to churches, where a church is pastored by a Yoruba, all the leaders Yoruba, him na Igbo, all the leaders na Igbo, plus branch pastors Igbo. You have another church here that is pastored by a northerner, and 90% of the members are from the south, if not all self. If you cannot see God in it, then I don't know where you will see God. Praise the Lord. And yet, I'm not preaching with fear. That an Igbo man will carry people and go and leave me with nobody. You have reduced my work. If I have fewer people, I will reduce my work. Eh? You know, fellowship is sweeter when we are few. You don't know. I know your house. I know what you chopped yesterday. I know. Increase your salary. I go, no. But now, I don't know anybody. I've been with you for long. Look at that. I don't know where you stay. Don't know. I don't know where you are living. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we continue to remain strangers to one another. But when we are few, we know where everyone lives. Anything that happened to, that is the reason why we broke the church into groups, group. So that we can know ourselves. And fellowship gets sweeter. I don't finish for today. I never finish the topic, oh. We have plenty of things to talk. Praise the Lord. Because I must let people know, say, falling down under anointing is not among the 9 spiritual gifts. In Jesus' name, hey, Father! It's not a gift, though, but it's a manifestation. Now, one spirit push you down, but we don't know which spirit yet. We need to know that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I need to take a whole service to let you know the effect of pride in your ministry. We need to talk about it. And what humility does to your ministry. We need to talk about it. Praise the Lord. We need to let you know that you may be operating the same gift but in different measures. And you have to operate within the measure that God gave you. If you're a prophet, you know they see name. Don't go and cook name. Because Prophet Sunday, they see phone number. They miss and go enter. 0 8 0. What? I see 3 for that number. Anybody, your phone number, get 3 inside. I need to tell you, stop it. I don't tell you what we will talk later. You need to stop that. It's, if you like, call my phone number. It's not a message to me. Is it a message to me? It's to prepare me to receive the message. I need to teach you that. Praise the Lord. And I need to let you know what William Branham was the one that brought it out. If anybody give prophecy and it doesn't come to pass, what he said we should do, I will tell you what William Branham said we should do to that person. That's the reason why prophecies are given here. Immediately they give you prophecy finished. You get one book, where will they write them there? Especially if the person give date and time. We get policemen where they follow prophecies. They will call you. That prophecy that prophet Zoe gave you that day, that you will get billions into your account last year. Did it come to pass? You say, if you say, I'm still waiting, waiting for where? We shall bring Zoe and do what William Branham said we should do. Church, can we stand up?